to the book of Jeremiah. You know, the last Sunday of November is not actually technically in the month of December yet. And yet, this is sort of a pre-Christmas message. Jeremiah chapter 52. So if you've been around here for many Christmas times, you know at times I'll find an odd text. And I'm doing my own reading through the Bible and came across this, and it just struck me. It's pretty amazing. Jeremiah 52. Starting at verse 31. Now it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 25th day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and brought him out of prison. And he spoke kindly to him and gave him a more prominent seat than those of the kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiakim changed from his prison garments, and he ate bread regularly before the king all the days of his life. And as for his provisions, there was a regular ration given him by the king of Babylon, a portion for each day until the day of his death, all the days of his life. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can come to you through the blood of Jesus Christ and what he has done, the sacrifice he made. Lord, thank you for your precious word, that we have the opportunity to gather together to study it, to look into it, to refresh our hearts with it, to let it wash over our lives, to do your good will in us according to the design of your word. So we thank you for that. Lord, we pray for those away, for those traveling, those who are traveling a lot, for your safety and protection upon them. Lord, for those who have physical needs, and Mary's addiction as she continues to recuperate, Orville Daniels, as he recuperates now from his surgery, and Lord, others, just your grace and mercy to their bodies. And Lord, for our lives as well, too. It might not be anything physical at all. For our hearts, our spirits, our minds, our thoughts, Lord, wherever our need is, for your mercy there. And Lord, again, for this, for the country we live in, for which we are grateful, for your hand upon it, for those who are in authority over us, Lord, for your will, that will be done. We pray for that. And Lord, as your word goes out around the world, not just for those whom we have a little hand in giving support to, but for others, Lord, that your word goes forth with power and with the Spirit to touch and change lives. And Lord, that's for us too, that your Spirit would use your word to speak to our hearts here as well. Lord, more than just to understand and know things, but to touch us in our hearts. Lord, so please, again, your blessing by your Spirit for our good, for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I said his name wrong. It's Jehoiachin. Think of Chin. I was thinking of Kim, and there's another Kim, Jehoiakim. A king was released from prison, verse 31, Jehoiachin. Who is this Jehoiachin? If you want to keep place here, back in 2 Kings chapter 23, 24, 2 Kings, get a little bit of background. 2 Kings 23, 24, but mainly 24. The nation of Israel divided. This is after the time of King David, after Solomon. The nation divided. The northern tribes, Israel. The southern tribes, Judah. The center of Judah is Jerusalem. But the kings, both of Israel and Judah, they've had a long succession. And you pretty well get into that seat because, number one, your dad was the king, or number two, the king who was on the throne was killed off and you had to flee the country to get somebody else in there who wanted it. But they've had a list of good kings and bad kings. But for both of the upper and lower sections of Israel, mostly bad. And even though God sent his prophets to speak to them over and over again, and that's what it says, over and over, they just, in the end, didn't pay attention. And so basically God's principle of, if you don't want to serve me, you're going to serve someone else. You will serve someone else. And so they are taken, the country's into captivity. I think Israel's already taken away. So this has to do with the southern kingdom, Judah. Because Judah watched, Judah watched as Israel was taken away because of their sins against God and each other. And it's like, oh, that's the way it goes. I don't want to do that. You know, I don't know if you've ever had an older brother in your life who was the one who ended up getting in trouble. So it's like, yeah, I don't want to go there. So that happened to me. I was the second of two. I was 4 years younger. The brother was older, got in trouble. I don't want to do that. So I just didn't get in trouble the way he did. So not that I was wonderful, but I didn't get in trouble the way he did. So let's pick it up in chapter 24, verse 1. There's an evil king there. His name is Jehoiakim. And in his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his vassal, puppet king, for 3 years. And then the puppet king turned and rebelled against the king of Babylon, and the Lord sent against the puppet king of Judah, raiding bands, Chaldeans, Syrians, Moabites, Ammon, bands, raiding bands, with axes and swords, not guitars and drums, raiding bands. But from the Lord, and verse 3, the commandment of the Lord surely came upon Judah to remove them from his sight because of the sins of Manasseh, according to what he had done, and the innocent blood, verse 4, that he had shed. So, immorality and the sacrifice of children to foreign gods. In the thousands, we have abortion, which in the millions, but they didn't abort their little children. They just burned them in the fire to foreign gods, which was not in God's mind at all. So a lot of incredible sin going on for God to ask away. So verse 6, chapter 24, Jehoiakim rested with his fathers. He died. Then his son Jehoiachin reigned in his place. Verse 8, Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he became king. 18. And it says in verse 8, he reigned as king in Jerusalem the total of 3 months. And verse 9, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the following his father's ways. And so, verse 10, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came. The city was besieged. And finally, it's broken into, and they're all gone, taken. And let's see. Verse 15, and he carried Jehoiachin captive to Babylon, along with many others, 3 months, 18 years old, 3 months king, off to captivity. So there he goes. So let's come back to, by the way, at the end of 2 Kings 25, you read a section that's almost parallel to Jeremiah 52, but go back to Jeremiah 52. It's very parallel, very much. The part that I read, the end of chapter 52 of Jeremiah. So Jehoiachin, 18 years old, becomes king, sits on the throne a total of 3 months. And then he's taken into captivity. And verse 31 in Jeremiah 52, now it came to pass in the 37th year. So 18 and 37 is 55. He spent almost twice his life, two-thirds of his life, in captivity. And by the way, captivity means slavery. It is exile. The root word of captivity comes from a word that means to strip or make naked. That's the root word of captivity, to make naked. So think of humiliate. Humiliate. Think of if you were taken into captivity and you had the shirt on your back and that's all you got out with, you'd be happy that you got out alive. To make naked, to humiliate. So that was it, captivity. So let's look at what happened to Jehoiachin, verse 31 at the end. This Evil or Awil Merodach, king of Babylon, lifted up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, when he's 55 years old. Number one, his head is lifted up. So what does that mean? Your head's lifted up. Well, wait a second. This is one of the few times that phrase is used in the Old Testament. The last, and you can go back there if you want, in Genesis chapter 40, but it's a time when Joseph was in prison in Egypt before the time of Moses. Joseph is in prison in Egypt, and Joseph is an interpreter of dreams. God gifted in that way. And so in the prison with him, there's the kings, king of Egypt, Pharaoh, his baker, and his butler. And so in Genesis 40, the baker and the butler have dreams. The butler says, I went back in my dream to serving the king of Pharaoh. And it was in symbolism. And Joseph says, you will go back. As a matter of fact, in 3 days, he's going to release you. You're going to go back to your old job serving the king. So can you put in a good word for me? 3 days. But he uses the phrase, the king will lift up your head. Now the baker, in symbolism, has this dream with three baskets of bread, and the birds come and eat all the bread. And Joseph says, in 3 days, the king of Egypt is going to lift off to your head. There's a difference between lift up and lift off. And he is, in 3 days, his head is removed from the rest of his body. His head was lifted off. But of the butler, your head will be lifted up. By the way, what's the position of a prisoner? What's the position of their head? You are no longer a human being. You are a number. Your head is down. You only look straight when you're told to. He lifted up his head. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Probably for the first time in, who knows, 37 years, he was recognized as a person again. Lifted up his head. And then, verse 31, he was brought out of prison. Now, in the Hebrew that the Old Testament uses, there's 5 or 6 different words that describe prison, which makes sense because it depends on if you're in a cell, if you're in a nicer place, if they lock you in chains or blocks or something like that. And this one simply means to be restricted or under restraint. Prison. He was brought out of prison. Prison is not a good thing to go to. Restricted or under restraint. Prison. But he was brought out. And then 32, what else happened to him? And he spoke, he, the king, spoke kindly to Jehoiachin. Isn't this interesting? He spoke kindly to him. The word means good, pleasant, favorable, even sweet. Kindly, good words. Probably, who knows, for the first time in 37 years, someone addressed him like he was a human being. 37 years, he spoke kindly to him. Now, it's all here for a reason. And 32, he was given a more prominent seat, a higher seat. In the good old King James Version, the seat is called throne. Throne, an elevated throne. That is a seat of prominence, and it says it's higher than other kings, as if there was different levels of these chairs. Padded seat, higher up, prominent. Number 5, verse 33, change of clothes. Doesn't say what into, but it'd have to be a good change of clothes to be appropriate to meet the king. Same thing happened to Joseph when he was taken out of prison. Said his garments were changed to meet King Pharaoh. Same thing, to be appropriate to the royal court. Nice. Number 6, verse 33. He had his meals in the king's court. Now that's not a restaurant or the king's table, buffet, king's table. But this is in the king's court. He ate before the king his meals, not your normal fare. Yesterday I had salmon. Wait, what's on the menu? See, this is a whole change. Do you think in prison he had 3 hearty meals, nutritious, delicious? Forget it. He probably ate whatever they threw at him whenever they felt like feeding him. Okay? It's kind of like man cave eating taken to an nth degree. You know? But not good. That's prison. Well, here, it's like, oh, the king's court. Well, fellas, yesterday we had salmon, so today I'm thinking of a little bit of filet mignon. What do y'all think? Sure, go for it, king, whatever you want. Sounds good to me. To eat with the king. I have 2 words down here that my wife will understand immediately when I say them. Personal illustration, Egyptian soup. Okay, so while we were going to Prairie Bible Institute, now Prairie Bible College, up in the midst of the wheat fields of Alberta, Canada, from time to time, the head chef, who was an ex-Marine cook, would come up with what we would call Egyptian soup, because he would take all the leftovers from the last 3 months, put them all together, you guys are going to love this, and come up with this greenish-brown concoction in these vats. You know, this is a Bible Institute, so the pots there were probably, 30 to 50-gallon cooking kettles at a time, and then bring this stuff out, and like, oh boy, Egyptian soup. Put it all together, whatever. So what was really interesting was that the places where you could, you know, dump all your, put your dirty dishes and, you know, not silverware and all that stuff, the garbage cans by the end of that were full of Egyptian soup. Like, put it back in. So how they did with leftovers. And obviously being a guy, hey, food makes a difference. So you have a memory that sticks with you for about 40 years of Egyptian soup. And even Nancy remembers that. Okay, regular portion of food, King's Court, number 8. And it went on it. And this is important because it repeats it twice, all the days of his life. And verse 34 at the end, all the days of his life. Why does it repeat it? Just so you make sure that you know that this is all the days of his life. Doesn't have to repeat. What a turnaround. Riches to rags to riches. 3 months a king. Prison, restraint, restriction. 37 years. And then brought out again. That's why this is a great pre-Christmas story. Okay, so how's Pastor Gary going to untangle that one at this point? It really is. It really is. Luke chapter 4. I'm going to keep a place here. Luke chapter 4. Why did Jesus come? Luke chapter 4. Verse 17, Jesus was handed the start of his ministry, the book of the prophet Isaiah. He's in the synagogue, and when he had opened it, he found the place where it was written, quoting from Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant who sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Today. Why did Jesus come? To speak words of divine kindness to the poor. That is the gospel. To bind up those who are broken in heart. To declare that there is freedom for those who are in bondage. To let the blind be able to see again. To free those who are in oppression. To declare that this is a time that God will accept you. So back in Jeremiah 52. In Christ. And we looked at this quickly in Colossians. In Christ, we have been brought out of the prison of darkness. Colossians 1:13. Peter says, we have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. In Christ, we have been elevated, raised up to an elevated position in the heavenlies. Ephesians 2:6. In Christ, his followers have been covered with the robe of righteousness. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. And God says, in the story Jesus told about the prodigal son who came back, when he came back, God says, bring out the robe for his son. But he doesn't say the robe, just the robe. He says, the best robe. Luke chapter 15, verse 22, the best robe. The robe of righteousness that we've been covered with in Christ. In Christ, we have been able to dine with Jesus. Revelation 3:20. I will dine with him and he with me. We've been made to dine. John 4:14. We have been given water by which we will never thirst. A well of water that will spring up, by which we will never thirst again. Philippians 4:20, we have had all of our needs taken care of. Philippians 4:20, and that's according to his own riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Not according to our standard, but according to his. All of our needs. Ephesians 1:11, we have obtained an inheritance. And all of this will last all the days of our lives. Which for the believer is, John 11:26, forever. Forever. All the days of our lives. Whoever believes in me shall never die. So now, you're seeing some parallels already, I know. We have a smart congregation. Jeremiah 52, but Jehoiachin, why did this happen? Why, Jehoiachin? Why? 37 years in prison. You'd think you'd be forgotten by then. Why did this happen? Well, it doesn't really say. Maybe Jehoiachin was a model prisoner, but there's no indication of it. Maybe this king, look at his name, the middle of verse 31, Evil, Marodach, or you might have Awil Marduk, M-A-R-D-U-K, Marduk. Maybe he got inspired to be nice. We don't know. I don't know. He's a pagan king. Marduk was one of the main Babylonian gods. And Marduk means solar calf. Solar as in sun. Calf as in child of cow. Okay, a solar child of cow. a solar calf. And Awel, or Evel, I know it looks like evil, but it's not. Awel means man of. So this man of the solar calf, he's a pagan god. So there's no indication he's converted to Judaism. He's a pagan god. So why did this happen? I would call it grace. The most powerful, or one of the most powerful kings on the face of the earth in his time, remembering this forgotten, forlorn, pathetic shell of a man in prison, and says, get him out. But not only get him out, bring him to me. Get him some decent clothes. Give him a good seat, and feed him. And do this all the days of his life until the very end. And that's why I call it grace. The king was not forced to do this. No one could force him. He was the king. And Jehoiachin certainly had no merit to boast about. He had no money, no possessions, no riches. What could he offer the king of Babylon? Experience? Wisdom? Wait, he was king for 3 months, and that was an 18-year-old, and we all know how 18-year-olds are. Did I just say that? That's it, 3 months. And he's been a prisoner for 37 years. What could he offer the king? So for some unknown reason, this man of the solar calf, this pagan king, wanted to have mercy on this former king of Judah, not to only get him out of prison, but give him an exalted position and take care of him the rest of his life. And that's God's mercy to us. That is God's mercy and grace. Pulls us out of our self-made prison of sin, but not only rescues us, but clothes us in the holiness of Christ, and then on top of that, gives us a place at his table forever. That's grace. However, in closing, there's one colossal difference between what this pagan king did and what our God did through Jesus. One colossal difference among many is that I'm sure it cost this Babylonian king nothing to do this. It didn't cost him a thing. One more mouth at the table. Doesn't matter. He's the king. He could feed 100 more a day, and it's like, get some more calves, get some more lambs, get some more fowl, get some more this, more that. It cost him nothing. He's the king. One more mouth. But it was a high price for God to do what he did for us. At quite a cost of his own son, Jesus. So maybe, this is conjecture. Why would this happen? Maybe, just maybe, Jehoiachin remembered when he was in prison what God had said through Jeremiah the prophet, from Jeremiah 29:13, where God said, and Jeremiah told the people, God says, and you will seek me, and you will find me, when you search for me with all your heart. Maybe that got through to Jehoiachin. Oh yeah, if I seek God with all my heart, I'll find him. Or maybe Jehoiachin heard what Ezekiel the prophet, who was with the people in captivity. Ezekiel, that was his time, preaching to the people of Judah in captivity, where Ezekiel would say, maybe he heard from Ezekiel. The prophet Ezekiel says, if the wicked man will turn from his sins, his wicked way, and does what is right in the sight of God, he will live. Or maybe he heard from Ezekiel 18:21. Or maybe he heard from about Ezekiel, that Ezekiel in 18:31 says, that God says he needs a new heart. And in 18:32, Ezekiel said that God wants him to turn and live. Maybe he heard that. while he was in prison. And he started to seek God. Because remember, at the start, 18 years old, he's evil. Now, I use the word bad, good and bad, but the Bible doesn't use the word bad king. It uses evil. Because being a king in Israel is not about economics, it's not about politics, it's about whether you truly follow the real God or not. And evil means not only not follow, but it means sin is rampant, immorality, as well as sacrifice of children and just gross immorality. Because the nation just follows the king. Evil. And that's how he was at 18. We don't know. However, pre-Christmas message, when you look at verse 31 in Jeremiah 52, it's really interesting because the Bible is definite when things come down to the day. This is the only time that is mentioned. It's a 12th month, and it's the 25th day. 12:25. It's the only time the Bible puts together the 12th month, 25th day of the year. Now I know, okay, for the purists, well, Jesus wasn't really born on the 25th of December. You can't determine it. Well, that is correct. Hopefully that didn't bust anybody's bubble. But the day is picked, and here's it, 12:25. And all this happened to this person in prison whose life was changed by the mercy of the king. Now that's grace. That's why Jesus came, to change our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word and just for your goodness. Lord, it's your goodness. In the shadow of this pagan king, in the shadow of it, we see a minuscule fraction of the goodness of God. Lord, thank you so much. We have so much to be thankful for in your sending your son Jesus to come to die for us. Thank you, Lord. Touch our hearts with this. Let us be the people that bring you glory and praise. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our hymnal just in closing. One of the hymns we've sung before already. Let's do the verse 157.